Dal Loggins, quarterback coach of the Tennessee Titans. Dal, how are you?
Doing good. You got to cross it back when I was on hold listening to Paul Hill say touchdown Matt Jones.
Yeah. Paul Hill's, we got the old clips, Dal. There were a lot of those clips when Matt played.
There were a lot of good.
Hey, man, how are things going this year with y'all down there at Tennessee? Y'all are third in the AFC South, and I know Jake Locker's been hurt a little bit, and you've been playing Hasselbeck. Is Jake looking like he's getting healthy, and which quarterback do you think gives y'all kind of the better chance to help your team make the playoffs this year?
Well, Jake missed 4 or 5 weeks there due to injury. Last week he came back, played really well against Miami, some good things, helped get a big win, and we needed it around here after getting blown out by Chicago and playing poorly. But, I feel like with the schedule set up the way it is, and if we continue to play well at the quarterback position and run the football, I think we have a good chance of Jake Locker to make a little run and stack up some wins right here.
I agree with you. Now, I know you got one of the best running backs in all of football right now, and the way the game's kind of changing right now, but running in between the tackles a lot, I noticed Chris Johnson has 24 catches, and he's averaging 6 yards a catch, and then on his runs, he has 170 rushes for 5.1 per carry. Do y'all see that passing game to Chris just kind of – is it an extension of the run game, more like screens and quick passes? Is that another way y'all use just to get him the ball?
Yeah, it is. And, I didn't know the stats like you did. That was pretty impressive. You've been doing your homework. But definitely in the way the game's changing, the three-step and the screens and the passes the back are definitely part of the run game now, and that's kind of – I think the evolution of the NFL and at the college level as well.
Exactly. And is it Bud Adams, your owner now? I know he came out, and I know every player, coach, you got to have success and you got to do the right thing or they're going to find somebody else. Was that just kind of to get y'all a little pep talk, to get y'all some motivation, or was that something that's serious, that it's like everybody might be gone at the end of this year if things don't turn around?
Well, if it was motivation, I hope he does it every week because it works. But I definitely think, in a business that's based on results, every week you got to win the NFL and these big college programs. I think the sense of urgency to win right now is more so than ever before.
Dal, Arkansas is in the middle of – well, Jeff Long is in the middle of looking for a coach to take over the program. Get you away from the NFL here for a second with this line of questioning. What do you think it is about being a head coach at the college level that he really needs to try and focus on and get the right guy with the right fit? Obviously, it's if he gets someone from the NFL, are they going to be able to go into the homes and recruit? I guess that's my biggest question if he does go the NFL route.
Yeah, I think that Coach Long's probably doing a lot of research right now on the right guy. And I think the biggest thing that Coach Long has to do is not necessarily hire the biggest name, but find the right guy for the job at this moment. And that may not be the biggest name. Now, it may be how it plays out. It may be Gary Patterson or Chris Peterson. But it may be Kirby Smart or a coordinator or a coach at a lower BCS school, but the most important thing is finding that right fit. And, we talk about NFL guys, you gotta find the right fit in your location, in your region. When you're at Arkansas, you have to be able to recruit Texas. You gotta be able to keep the in-state kids there. So do they have ties to that? Are they gonna be, it's not Alabama, it's not LSU. So are they gonna have systems on offense and defense that give you a chance to compete against Alabama and LSU when you play those guys? And that's who you're competing with to win the West. And I think when you're looking at it, that's kind of the total package, what you have to be successful at Arkansas. And I think that's probably what Coach Long's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely the biggest question. This is my second day on the radio, and everybody wants to know who is the next coach for the Hogs. And, it's all just kind of an opinion right now. And Jeff Long is doing his research, and he's going to try to bring in the best fit for us. And my thing, I was thinking, wouldn't you want to get an offensive coordinator from the NFL? You look at what O'Brien is doing at Penn State coming from the Patriots. And when you watch Penn State play, everybody thought that they weren't going to have a chance this year to win any games. But when you watch them on offense, they are very efficient. They're not having the mistakes on the O-line like we're having. We have had alignment penalties, I think, every game this year. And you look at that. I know we had one last year on a big play. And this is just a little too late in the year to be having alignment penalties.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Matt, you played the position at a very high level in the SEC and then played receiver in the NFL. So you understand everything now is generated around the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven NFL. It's a quarterback-driven SEC. It's a quarterback-driven college football. And so it goes down to high school. Everything, to me, is an extension of the head coach and quarterback, and those guys are tied together. So when you're looking at build your program, and I think that's why Petrino had such success at Arkansas, because he was a quarterback-driven guy. He knew how to prepare the guys. He knew how to practice. He had a vision for what he wanted at that position. I think it was an extension of his program. And I'm not saying you can't hire a defensive head coach, but with a defensive head coach, and what you have to make sure is, who, if that's the guy you decide, does he have the right offensive coordinator in place to develop the quarterbacks? And is that defensive head coach going to give the offense coordinator quarterback the freedom to build the practices, structure the program around that position?
Dow, you talk about Bobby Petrino and quarterbacks and building around that. At your level, the NFL, you've got scouts that go out and scout the talent that's playing at the college level. How much do you get to see of that during the season before y'all get ready for the draft, for the combines? Do you do a lot of work right after the season ends, before the combine, looking at guys that you all are going to be paying attention to, knowing where you fit into the draft? Because it's different at the college level. You've got to do that all on your own, go out and find the high school kids. But at the NFL, you've got scouts that go out and scout for you. How involved are you all at the NFL level?
Well, and for the most part, day in, day out, not very involved until after the season. Right now, we're in a bye week, and it's funny that Matt brought up Penn State, because I just watched a couple of games then just because I wanted to see some of the stuff they're doing, the huddle stuff, and seeing how that was working for those guys at the college level. But I watched several teams this morning, just kind of looking around, seeing. I watched Alabama, I watched Tennessee. They've got a couple players on each side of the ball that are pretty good. But we won't dive into that. Our scouts are neck deep in that stuff right now until after the season, when we start preparing for the combine and the draft gets closer.
How much you said it's being a bye week. I know when I was in Jacksonville, our bye week, we used it for kind of a self-evaluation. And you said you're watching some film on some other teams and some other players. Now, how much film are y'all going to go back and watch of y'all's offense, y'all's defense, see what y'all's tendencies are on 3rd and 1, 3rd and 3, just situational football, your tendencies there?
Well, right now, I think the stats you gave me at the first start of the show helped me out a little bit. we spent most of yesterday and today. Now, our players came in yesterday, and we gave them the rest of the week off. We have a head coach that's a former player that's really good to those guys and followed the Jeff Fisher model of get them away from football, let them go relax, get their minds off of it, come back fresh, and let's try to go win these next six. But all day today, and all day yesterday, it was self-scout, looking at what we did good, what we did bad. Do we need to improve what we did bad, or is it concepts we need to scratch? Why is the run game the last 4 or 5 weeks taking off compared to the start of the season? And just figuring out who we are, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is do what you do well, and if you have a good grasp on that, you have a chance to be successful in this league, because as you know, Matt, it's such a matchup-based league, and you need to know your strengths and weaknesses better than your opponent.
Yeah, your one-on-one matchups. And one thing I've been kind of pushing for Arkansas's next head coach, and you can kind of give me your opinion on this, but I've always responded to, and it seems like my teams or any team I've been on has responded to a coach who is also a former player who has played at a high level, whether it be in the SEC, whether it be in the NFL. And you just said your head coach gave y'all the rest of the week, or gave your players the rest of the week off. How important is that for a player to know that his coach has been there and he understands what you're going through?
I think there is some importance. I think there is, you know, a guy that's been in your shoes that has done a job before that understands what it's like to get ready to play one of those games in these situations. But now, you know, there are always the exceptions, the guys that, you know, have had success at a really high level, like the Lou Holtz and Charlie Weiss's of the world. Charlie is the coordinator in the NFL, and, you know, Lou Holtz had a lot of success. But I do think there is something to that, the guys that – because I think there's a little bit more respect level when it comes to that.
Dal, having Vanderbilt and James Franklin over there in Nashville, and I know you're balls to the wall, Tennessee Titans, but do you ever get a chance to see what some other coaches are doing? You said you're watching some tape now of Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, to see what they're doing offensively. But what are your thoughts, if you have any, on James Franklin and what he's done over there at Vanderbilt? Because I'm sure you see it in the paper, you see it on the news at night as well.
I'm a big fan of James Franklin. James, actually, and I spend a lot of time at Vandy, he actually, Coach Franklin called our head coach, Munchak, and said, hey, how much time are you giving these guys off? Because Dal's always over here in my building when he's not in your building. But I have a great respect for what he's done at Vanderbilt, the energy he's brought to their program. He's done a really good job. And, you know, at some point, someone's going to come in there and offer him a lot of money at one of these big schools to try to get him to leave Nashville. And whoever decides to do that, they're getting a guy that's a really good football coach and is a winner, a proven winner at a tough place.
Yeah, so you think Franklin's ready to make that step? I know Vanderbilt is in the SEC. But just as a character guy and a guy that understands the game, you think he is ready to make that next step and go to a bigger program like in Arkansas?
I do. I think that his history is good. He was a head coach in waiting in Maryland. He's coached in the National Football League. West Coast offense guy, understands concepts, understands attacking matchups, brings great passion, enthusiasm, and recruiting. I'm a fan of Coach Franklin. I think that if he ever decides to live, I know he's very happy here at Vanderbilt, and he's done a great job, and Nashville's a great town, you know, so I think it's make it tough on him to leave. But I think that he's taking, you know, this is his second year in a row he's taking Vanderbilt to a bowl game, which isn't easy to do.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but you spent a lot of time over there, and he's even talked about it. If he moves on and he gives you a call, says, Dal, hey, I want you to come be my offensive coordinator.
Well, I'd be flattered and cross that road when it happens. But I've got a great deal here in Nashville. I've been here for 7 years with the Titans, and you know, you never know what could happen. But I do have a great deal of respect for Coach Franklin.
Sweet,
that's
all right.
Great coaches talking it, Matt.
Exactly, I love it. I've always said a lot of good things about you and your knowledge to football and how that goes. And tell us one of your favorite moments. If you got a Coach Nutt story or one of your favorite moments at being at the University of Arkansas.
Well, it's probably on game day, sitting in a hotel room listening to you get ready for a game, or, you know, the Texas game in Austin, just sitting around with the guys. You know, I have so many positive experiences from that, the same as you do. And I don't know that I have one. I have good and bad. You know, one bad thing I remember has always stuck out to me in coaching quarterbacks the last 4 years in the NFL is the Texas game on the ball that we fumbled down there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tight end fall down, and you tell me I don't want to don't talk about calling this play.
Right.
Don't want to throw an interception. And I remember saying it to him, like, hey, coach, he doesn't like this play, and he snaps me off, just rips me. I'm like, oh, okay.
I
fumbled the ball, and that stuck in my mind as a quarterback coach that, you know what, the quarterback didn't like the play. Let's run the ball, kick the field goal, and win the game.
Exactly.
I've really taken that lesson. That, you know, and there's so many. There's hundreds of good ones and bad ones, but I know that one always stuck out in my mind as a thing. As a quarterback coach, is eventually when I get my opportunity to be an offensive coordinator, head coach, is don't let learn from your mistakes and don't let that happen to you. And you see it happen every day. But I know that was really one lesson that I learned that really is stuck in my mind.
Dal, can you talk about the quarterback coordinator, quarterback coach relationship there that goes on? You've seen it at the college level. You're a part of it at the NFL level. What goes on behind closed doors there with those parties?
Well, you know, as long as you think eye to eye, it's always a good situation. And you know, you want the quarterback to be an extension of the coaching staff, and that's the out front leader of the football team. And that the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, have to be on the same page to get the quarterback to be that out front guy, to get him on the same page with the head coach and be an extension of him. So it really, I mean, like I said, I truly believe that everything in football success is based on quarterback play. And I think that everything in your program should be built around that. I think that's why teams like the Philadelphia Eagles have had such long-term success and the New England Patriots, because I truly believe everything in their program is based on what is best for this quarterback. It's from everything from travel to practice schedules to the offense. You need to make it. I'm not saying you accommodate the quarterback, but you do what's best for him to be successful. Because if he's successful, you're going to have a chance to be really good.
We know Gus Malzahn, you know, went to Auburn, and he's a Northwest Arkansas guy, being at Springdale and Shiloh Christian, and he had a little time at Arkansas. And I don't really know a whole lot what happened there, but I know it wasn't a good leave. But he did have success at Auburn. He's now at Arkansas State. Do you see him ever being interested in that Arkansas job, or ever wanting to go back up there to coach the Hogs?
Well, I'm sure that right now he'd love to have that job. And there's 100 people that would love to have that Arkansas job. It's a great job in the SEC. I think everyone that grew up in the state of Arkansas, whether you went to school there or not, I mean, I think that's the only show in town to 99% of that state. It's a great program. I'm sure that Coach Malzahn would love an opportunity to come back there.
Dal, give us an update. How's the family?
Doing awesome. Got two girls, 1-3. One's one. Actually, on Wednesday for the first time, I'm taking them to Disney for the bye week. We have Wednesday through Sunday off, so I'm going to go to Disney for the first time and try to enjoy that, get away from football a little bit. You know, with technology now, you have these iPads, so you can load up all this film on your iPad. But my wife won't be real excited about that, but be able to watch tape in the hotel room when the girls go to bed and on the plane as well.
Well, sweet, man, and you'll be able to slip off and get you a nap.
Yeah, that'll be nice as well.
So Matt Jones might be saying something there. You like taking naps?
I don't know what he's referring to. I know this. Matt doesn't want to start telling stories on the radio with me.
you got a quick one you can tell us?
Ooh, come on now. Be easy on me.
I'm gonna stay away from that right now, but I'm sure that there'll be the time and place on this show that I won't mind telling a couple.
Well, thanks a lot, Dal. Thanks for joining us today, man.
No problem.
Dal, appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on.
Sounds good, Trey.